Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, January 6th. I'm here with the 2 o'clock group. Hi, Donna. It's Diane. Happy New Year. Just getting started.
Hi, Happy New Year.
So let's start with a quick check-in. Let me know how your vacations went, how your intentions from the last call went. Just kind of what's up with everybody. It was the 12 o'clock call today. We were talking about a whole bunch of different stuff that had been going on for folks. Who wants to start?
Well, I can. I was going to try to stay home over Christmas with our family, and it went all right. We all managed to give each other the flu. So for my son probably wasn't the problem. There were some grouchy adults because we all got sick. But other than that, you know, for those circumstances, the holiday went pretty well.
Well, I'm sorry you were sick, April. Are you better?
Oh, we're getting there. I'm learning to stink.
So was there anything in particular? Okay. What about anybody else?
Well, this is
Christy.
I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead, Christy. No, I was just going to say whoever was talking first just then, I can't hear them at all.
Okay. April, I think you're on speakerphone. You're going to probably, if you want to talk, you need to take us off the speaker while you're talking.
Okay, we'll do it.
And she was just to share, she was saying that all the grown-ups were sick over the holidays, so it was a very interesting dynamic.
Oh, no.
To say the least. So, okay. So, was that Christy? Did you want to go next, or were you just, I couldn't?
Sure. I have a celebration, actually. It's been, I think, 2 weeks now since Caleb has had an explosive episode, and that's the longest we've gone in a long time without that. So I am celebrating that.
That's fabulous.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. What do you think is different?
He started Abilify about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think it's helped. And he's actually gained a lot of weight, which is not great, but he needed to gain a little because he hasn't gained any in a year. So that's a good thing, too.
Good. Well, 2 things to celebrate. Congratulations. Hi, Nia. I see that you joined us. We're just doing our check-in here.
Hi, everyone.
Megan, you want to check in?
Sure. We had good holidays. We had kind of typical, really up-and-down roller coaster. You know, we'd have some great times and some bad times and a horrible time thrown in. But, you know, we're just trying to get back into the swing of things with school starting again, and we're going to have a meeting with my son's teacher soon, this week or next week. So at least we are, you know, moving forward with getting him some help at school when it comes to focus and paying attention.
Great. Was there anything in particular you'd been focusing on in terms of follow-up from the last call? Were you working on changing your perspective or anything in particular?
Nothing in particular. I feel like we're always just kind of in survival mode around here. Last night I did listen. I re-listened to our last call from before Christmas. So I'm trying to, you know, get back into the mindset of, you know, being more purposeful and not just being reactive.
Yeah, well, I like that. And actually, we were talking earlier with a group about the fact that, you know, if even kind of choosing your mindset is an action, and it's an action that gets you out of survival mode because you're being more conscious about it. And so it's just kind of like if you're in that place where you feel like you're just kind of hitting the balls as they come, you know, starting to find one place where you can be proactive, even in terms of just the way you're thinking about the situation, can make a huge difference, Megan. But you're probably in good company. I think that particularly this time of year, it's easy to kind of get into that sort of how are we going to get through this mode.
Right.
Anybody else want to do a quick check-in before we take aim?
Yeah, I'll do it. This is Sue here. I totally missed December, so I am happy to be back on this call and back at a different time of the year, I think. But our holiday was pretty good. I have a very small family, but our holiday worked well. I think what happened for us is that for my son, who's 10, with the workload at school and other things that he was doing, he just hit this point right around Thanksgiving where he just was ready to quit everything. And so we were able to, with this holiday, just take a break. And it just could not have come at a better time for him. And so that was a relief. And I'm sure getting back into the swing of school and everything will be a bit on the rough side, but I have my fingers crossed that it will work out as well as can be expected. So.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like having him take a little bit of a break and have some downtime enabled you to do the same thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Great. Donna or Mia, a quick check-in?
Yeah. Hi, this is Donna. I actually have a celebration. Prior to the beginning of the school break, because my son goes to a small private school, so every trimester they have like this awarding ceremony. So for the first time, my son is in third grade. He got into the honor rolls list. So it's a huge deal for us. I know many of my friends, especially those that post their kids' achievement on Facebook, always post about how their kids, get into the honor roll or get into the top sports. But for us, just being included, at least for the first time, is a huge deal because I've sort of confined my expectation to the fact that if I don't get a teacher's note in a whole week, that is a huge success. So, for him to get that kind of recognition is a huge booster for him. So, so our Christmas vacation went really well. I guess I got a little bit less strict on him. I allowed him a bit more, video game time than normal, because I felt like, maybe he deserved it more. But yeah, since we're back now into the school, back to school, so we need to kind of condition his mind again into the, the normal routine. But yeah, I allowed him a little bit more, liberty with his, I guess, electronics and video games, the things that actually work well for him, just sort of as a Christmas reward.
Great. Well, and so how did it help you to give him some more flexibility and some more liberty?
Pardon me?
How did it help the situation to give him more flexibility and more liberty, more time in the electronics and things?
Actually, when school is in session, those things are only available to him during the weekend. And, I think that, I don't know, maybe he feels that, if he works hard, he will get the things that he likes to do the most. So the way it helped is maybe, we had less fighting. I think we only had two sessions of tantrums the entire 2.5 weeks of school break. And I could attribute that to mostly him, I guess, not having, getting hungry, and because our schedule was a little bit less strict. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel that this school break went well for him, and there was very, very little opportunity or, situations where he had to throw tantrums and we had to fight.
Yeah. Well, so it created, it took a little bit, it sounds like it what it did was took some stress off, and so it helped him to stay a little bit less triggered than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mia, how are things going for you?
It was an interesting holiday season. I have a 4-year-old son who struggles with anxiety, and he had a really rough December. So we had a lot of time spent with his preschool and his ABA shadows. But it really, the holiday, I have to say it was lovely because our attention was so focused on following our ADA protocols with our four-year-old that our daughter had more latitude to take on responsibilities and, like, be independent and demonstrate how much she's grown, because she'd still be eight in a few weeks. And it was just a joy to enjoy her without the homework battles and see her, you know, cheering up her brother and making Christmas ornaments and, you know, visiting the neighbors. And it just made me really appreciate her separate from her schoolwork. And I realized for myself that I really sort of confounded the schoolwork stress with my daughter. And that was sort of, it was good to notice that and to remember that each day I should pay attention to doing something that we do well together, because there's a lot of that as long as it's not reading homework. So that was nice. I also had the opportunity to closely monitor her medication and how long it's effective, and it was almost like it was like a flipping of a switch with the getting emotionally stuck with things when it wore off. So got some really good data to go back to her doctor with this month for our checkup, because we're still calibrating some of her meds.
Great.
So it just
great.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, it sounds like the biggest aha was, you know, and it's so easy for us to get into this mindset of the problems are so big that they become all that we focus in on. And so you notice that, hey, there's this whole other world out there. I really do enjoy my daughter. I enjoy spending time with her. How can I bring more of that into the time when we are having to deal with school instead of this kind of on-off, black-white sort of mindset? That's great, Mia.
Exactly. Monday was really rough. I don't know if anybody else had a... I was like, oh, we all dreaded Monday. So, oh, well.
Yeah,
we're having a snow day here in Virginia today, so we're off again.
Well, we started up today, and it was definitely, it was more difficult. Well, it was better than many Mondays, because I think they were ready for it, but it definitely was a Monday all day long today.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, and I also listened to the recordings, because I've been off for December, and I have to say, I missed just being here, so thank you for having such a good program. It helps more than I realize by being absent, so.
Good. Well, we missed you guys too. It was since December that we're a little small, but it's always nice to have the bigger group and the perspectives of everybody and the experiences of everybody. So I'm glad you guys are all here and ready to start off the new year. So let's take aim. Let's kind of focus in on one particular challenge area. There was a lot of celebrating today, and I want to applaud you guys, because it's really hard to not just focus on the challenges. And so you guys are picking up the opportunity here to celebrate and jump up and down, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. And let's take an area to focus in on and take aim as we talk about curiosity. So let's go back around, take a minute, think about what you're going to take aim on, and I'll start at the top. Christy, where do you want to take aim for our conversation today?
Sorry, I have to be muted for just a minute for a work thing, and then I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, Megan?
I was hoping you wouldn't say my name. I don't know yet. I don't know. There are
okay.
So many things. I'm going to think about it.
Okay. April?
One second. Okay. I think I'm going back to the basics again. We're just working kind of on the schedule after school and getting that back all and making sure I'm eating dinner on time, because that seems to make a huge difference in our lives.
So specifically, how to arrange your afternoon so that you can have dinner on time, is that what you mean?
Yep.
Great. All right. Sue, what about you?
I think for me... I had mentioned earlier that my son kind of got overwhelmed with school and stuff, and he takes karate, and so he's at this level, belt level, where there's more expected of him to learn, because they have to learn terminology and such, and he just took a break from it and is now back into it, and so I really would love to encourage that, because it's a type of exercise for him that works well. So my taking aim is it okay if your taking name is somewhat vague? But my taking name is something to work on keeping his motivation alive so that that positive behavior of taking karate continues as long as he wants to continue.
Okay, so I'm gonna help you to flip it upside down. So
yeah,
what we want to
go for
take him and the challenge. So because that's a great solution, because you can see that the martial arts is a way to kind of stimulate a part of his brain. But what's the problem? What's the challenge that it will help address?
The challenge is just getting out the door to go there and not, how do I say that? Yeah, just getting to keep him positive enough to get him out the door and go take class. Because once he takes class, he's super. He's great. He understands how it helps. But it's just getting out the door to get to class.
Okay. So it's about finding a way to motivate him and structure him to get out the door specifically for the martial arts class.
Yes. Yes.
Great. Cool. All right, Donna, what about you? Donna, you got us on mute.
Is it me? I didn't hear. Interesting. I don't really know. I feel like there's so many I need to take aim at, but probably sort of related to the mom that was just speaking. It's getting my son to, I guess, not try to procrastinate less. I know that's very broad. But, yeah, because my son also takes martial arts. He does jiu-jitsu. And, in the same manner, getting him ready for it or just to go there, it is quite an effort most times. But if I tell him that, okay, if we keep skipping these classes, it's not worth it. We can't spend that kind of money. So I think we better just end it, stop it, take a break for 2 months and see if he still like it. And then he would, be upset because he'd say, I don't want to stop. I love doing that because I think it's helpful for him because it has a lot of sort of like, they grapple and they stay on the floor. They do a lot of movements, which is very helpful for him. But similarly, it's getting ready for that sometimes takes effort because he gets distracted with so many other activities on the side, and that doesn't just apply to, him going to those lessons. It's other things like if we need to leave for school or if we need to leave for church.
So Donna, is it about transitioning?
I think that would be the best.
Not being at home? And is there a particular
transitioning
difference? Go ahead.
Yeah, transitioning to, I guess, the next activity or the planned activity. There are things we need to do and we need to be there on time. And no matter how early I plan, we often still get there late.
Because
I want to try to avoid that.
Well, there's two pieces of it. One is kind of like the routine sorts of things that happen every day. And so there's the kind of how do we get up and out the door in the morning, because that's a fairly routine sort of thing. The other thing I heard kind of subtly in what you and Sue both were saying is that, okay, once a week I got to get him to this class that's not a normal part of the schedule. How do I help with the transition when things are kind of out of the ordinary? So is it more about the routine of day-to-day, Donna, or is it more about this sort of, when it's not,
I would say,
how do I?
I would say it applies to both situations. But, on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't happen all the time. But maybe what can I do to better, control the situation or manage the situation?
So I'm going to ask that you take aim on one or the other because they feel a little different to me.
Okay. Today was the first day back to school for him. It was not a challenge at all. He was the one dragging me to leave because he wanted to be there early and attend the morning daycare. So, but in the past, we've had that challenge as well in, getting to school on time. But it's not a frequent issue, but it happens, I would say, 2 out of 5 times in a week. And,
So, Donna, do you want to focus on getting at the door in the morning, or do you want to focus on getting to events that are less routine, like an after-school activity?
Well, Yeah, probably for this time being, because we're back to school, maybe the back to school situation is more of a higher priority.
Okay.
Also, don't be hesitating on that. You know, the other ones, once a week, twice a week events, I'll work harder.
Okay.
We'll see what I can do with it.
To be a little bit more specific, because I think it helps to narrow the conversation a little bit if you know that you're only talking about one particular area. So thank you for being patient and getting more specific. Okay, I'm looping back to Christy and Megan.
I'll go ahead. This is Megan. I think I'm going to take aim on what type of tone of voice I use when talking to my son. It seems like some of the problems lately have kind of been triggered by him feeling like he's being yelled at when he's definitely not being yelled at, but he feels like it. So I think if we just try to, you know, he asked me yesterday, he said, why do you talk to adults differently than you talk to kids? And I was trying to have a serious conversation with him about some rules, so I was talking to him very seriously, but I think he felt like it was, I don't know, maybe too much of a lecture. So just changing my tone and seeing if that helps change his ability to respond to what I'm saying.
So, Megan, I'm going to do the same thing I did with Sue. So let's flip it upside down. What is the challenge? So that changing your tone of voice is a strategy that you could put into place, which is a great strategy to try. What is the challenge that you're trying to address? That's where we take aim, is on the challenge.
The challenge is when he calls it that we're talking mean to him, it'll often trigger kind of like a tantrum from him, which will last for anywhere from half an hour to a couple hours. So, you know, the challenge is to minimize those.
Right. So the challenge is his being triggered specifically, a trigger potentially around your tone of voice, but kind of like what to do in those moments where his tendency is to get triggered and how to handle it differently.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay. Christy, ready?
Yes. my challenge the last 2 weeks with Caleb has been him not wanting to go to his counseling appointment. And he has his next one tomorrow. So I need to get curious about why he's not wanting to go and just see what I can, I don't know if I need to adjust the schedule or what I need to do. But last time he wouldn't go at all. I couldn't even get him in the car. The time before I got in there, but he would not get out of the car.
Yep. Okay, good. Mia, what about you? Where do you want to get curious?
I want to get.
No, let me say that. Where do you want to take aim? Let me say that way.
and it might include getting curious. My daughter started to exhibit getting sort of emotionally fixed and very distraught when we start homework if she's had some sort of traumatic experience in her school day. So I feel like once we get started, we're okay, but there's a hurdle in getting started. And so I want to figure out a way to get over that hurdle, think about that, take aim there. And do it in a positive way, so not revert to, you know, you have to do this. I remember one of the calls I was listening to was talking about maybe doing something fun to jumpstart engagement in an activity. So I just, that's been rattling around in my head. So I want to think about what could I do when we're stuck before we start homework.
Great. Great. Okay. Did I get everybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that right? Anybody I missed? I think I got everybody. Okay, so we're on page 34 of the workbook, talking about curiosity. And I love this tool. This is a tool that really helps in a lot of areas. We've put it under the subset of shifting expectations because what it allows us to do is to really change our perspective and really open up a situation it can be helpful to use curiosity. So curiosity is basically, instead of jumping to fixing or changing or knowing, which is what we often get stuck in, it's like, I've got to know the answer, I've got to fix this, I've got to change this, we start from a place of curiosity. And we might be asking ourselves, I wonder what's going on here, either with me or with my kid or with a teacher or whatever else. Or you might actually be engaging in a conversation with the other person to say, wow, what was really going on for you? I think that with our kids, a lot of times in this group, you know, our kids are younger. They may or not be emotionally aware enough or self-aware enough to engage in those kind of conversations, like what was going on with you. But as your kids get older, you're going to want to continue to get curious to yourself. I wonder what happened with him in that situation, and also to find ways to engage them in the conversation. And curiosity can help in a lot of different places. So, one, it can help if you, really to understand what might be going on from an executive function challenge for your kids. So there's an exercise we do as part of homework headaches where you kind of really look at the challenge that your child is having and say, what's going on from an executive function perspective? Is this about initiation? So, I'm thinking about you and the homework. Is it a getting started thing? Is it a transition thing? Is it a follow-through thing? Is it a emotion management thing? So, you know, what's really going on from an executive function perspective? The other place that curiosity can really help you is when you do get stuck and you're not sure what to do. So it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to have an answer. I got to do something. I don't know what to do. If you can ask a question, you're doing something, and it often will shift your energy enough to kind of say, okay, instead of being stuck, I'm moving forward. I feel better about the situation, and it can help you to move things forward much more productively. The other thing that curiosity can help with is in a way to avoid a conflict. So if you notice that you're getting triggered, you can, instead of kind of going all the way from 0 to 100 on the trigger, you can say, I wonder what's triggering me, or I wonder what's going on. What is it about this situation? Or you could say, what's going on in this situation? When we talked about triggers a couple weeks ago, we said that, you know, the steps were, one, notice your triggers and understand what triggers you. Two, reclaim your brain. Three, choose a new perspective. Curiosity can be a perspective that you can choose. Instead of, if you get really stuck on looking at something in a negative way, my child's being disrespectful, this is terrible, I can't believe they're doing this, or here we are again, if you go, oh, wow, I wonder what's going on here, getting curious can really help you to open up and look at the situation differently and potentially move forward with a different action. The other place that curiosity helps is if you're in conflict or you're kind of going back and forth with someone. And so that if you are having a difficulty with a teacher or an administrator, you're really frustrated with how they're handling the situation. This happened in the call at noon today. One of the parents was really frustrated with the teacher and how they were handling the situation. If you say, gee, I wonder what it is that's making it difficult for them in this instance to follow through on the 504. You know, so instead of saying, I can't believe they're doing this, it's like, wow, I wonder what's really, you know, I wonder what's going on that's making it difficult for them to do it. It also is a great relationship strengthener as well. So there's lots of great value in going to curiosity. And the way to, as I mentioned, to express curiosity is to ask open-ended questions. You can ask them of yourself. You can ask them of your kid if you think that will help the dialogue. A few points there. If your kid is already triggered, asking them an open-ended question often will throw them over the deep end. So if it's like, I don't want to do my homework, oh, gee, honey, what's going on? Why don't you want to do your homework? It might not be the best question in that moment if they're pretty triggered. It's valuable to ask open-ended questions instead of closed-ended questions, because that really does get you to more information. And it's easy to forget that. You know, whenever my kid goes yep or nope, I'm like, oh, shoot, I said a closed-ended question again. So I don't know if you guys understand the difference between an open-ended question and a closed-ended question, but I think it can be a helpful tool in terms of expanding curiosity. So with that, lots of stuff about curiosity. I'm curious what comes up for you guys around curiosity. April, I'm going to mute her. Hang on.
Yeah, well, I was laughing because when you were saying yes or no questions.
Okay, I just muted April. I couldn't tell if she's dealing with kid or not. I'll take her out. Oh, she hung up. So good. All right. Anybody?
This is Sue. Can you talk a little bit more of how it helps with curiosity, how it helps figuring out executive function, you know, like which one is happening? So I know you talked about initiation. You basically, let's say, is it the type of situation if you find yourself where there's a great moment to use that curiosity, that you basically go through the list of executive functions to figure out which one fits with the event that's happening at that moment?
I think it could help you to understand it. I think that it's an easy place to get stuck. It's like you have to know which executive function challenge it is. But it kind of ties back to me, Sue, to the naughty or neurological. If you sit there and say, okay, this is, some part of this is neurological. What's really going on for my kids? You know, what is it that's making it difficult for them to sit down and get started on their homework? What is it that's making it difficult for my child to, listen calmly to my voice when I talk to them? You know, so it's about understanding the core executive function challenges and using those potentially as a framework for getting curious is the only way I can say it. Does that make more sense?
That does. The framework is a good word that kind of triggers for me. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. What comes up for the rest of you guys around curiosity?
This is Mia. I think for me, one of my challenges with curiosity is I've often been triggered when I should be being curious, and so remembering to be curious in the moment is more accurate than trying to be curious retrospectively and try to remember what all was possibly feeding into that situation last night. It would be better if I could manage to be curious in the moment to be aware of all of the stuff that also might be happening around.
So, Mia, so what do you think it would take to get to that place of curiosity if it's a place where you're pretty triggered?
For me, it's just using, taking deep breaths, maybe stepping away. Those are some of the tools I used last night when we had a total emotional meltdown in response to my open-ended question about, so what's going on here? So walking away was really good. I think for me, honestly, I'm coming right, I work from a home office, so on Mondays when I come out from my home office, we have 30 minutes to get homework done before we leave for drama. So I think maybe even just setting a reminder on my calendar to breathe before I go upstairs to get that space between my commitments, because I'm coming from a place of little resources. I'm not, prepared for homework. Usually I have time to have, a little snack myself and make sure the kids have had a snack and all of those things, and then I can go into it in a better place. So for me, I think the barriers to curiosity are personal rather than anything with the kids. It's just if I'm not prepared to be curious, then it's not going to happen. So I need to put something on my calendar to remind me to be prepared. And I'm wondering now, actually, as I think about it, is this a Monday night thing? It's been so long since we were in school now that I can't remember if this happens more on Mondays. And if it does, wow, that's interesting. So.
Well, it's a great thing to get curious around, it sounds like.
Yeah. There's so many options.
Well, and that reminds me, Mia, because I think one of the tools around curiosity is using some kind of journal or log. And I've had parents who've used trigger journals where they write down every time their kid gets triggered or every time they get triggered. That's the rearview mirror piece of it. It's like, okay, let's journal a little bit. Write down what was going on, what happened, had they eaten, did they get enough sleep, was it after, what was going on, and so collecting that data is a great way to be curious as well.
Exactly. And we have that log. Ironically, I haven't been tracking homework. I've just been tracking medication stuff in it. But I think it's time to repurpose that log for some more things. So.
Great. What about anybody else around curiosity?
Well, this is Christy. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think, was that April? Was that you?
Oh, I thought someone else was talking to you, so I stopped. But I can go ahead. I was just going to say, Elin was, that's our second, our middle kid, and she was having a really hard time. And as you were talking about curiosity, I finally one day was just like, Elin, what is going on? And she listed off many of my offenses. But one of them was is we had forgotten her half birthday, and no one knew and no one had thought about it on December 13th. And, you know, to her that was a really big deal, and we had kind of gotten away from that, but I guess it was something she had an expectation for, and that was a big deal to her, and she was acting out because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, well, it is great that she was able to answer the question. A lot of times they aren't able to do that.
She's my one who has an incredible verbal strength. But one of the things I was chuckling about before, well, my one-year-old started kicking up, was when you said yes or no questions. As an attorney, one of the things that they teach you, yes or no questions are for cross-examination. And it just kind of made me laugh that, you know, are we asking the real story, or do we only want to know what we already know?
Powerful. Thank you for saying that. That's a good question. Anybody else? What comes up around curiosity?
This is Christy. I was just going to say, reading the the page in the notebook about it, it says, if you notice that you're starting to judge behavior, ask yourself what's motivating them. And I know lately I've been feeling that way with Caleb, because a lot of times I'm just like, why can you not just do this? You know, just get it done or whatever it is. And so that was very convicting to read that. So I just need to take a step back and think about my own motivation and then think, okay, what's causing this in him? What might be? Just letting go of that judgment factor.
No, that's right. So it's you know, sometimes we get stuck in the judgment, and it's difficult. I mean, the goal here is to be able to move forward with, you know, positive action at some point. And if we're stuck looking at things in one particular way, which is really a common thing for us to do, the curiosity does open it up and allows you to kind of look at it from a different perspective. Anything else?
This is Sue here. It strikes me that having a conversation where you're really focusing on being curious would fuel a conversation that's really empathetic, and therefore one that's so much easier I know for my kid in particular, to listen to and to really be a part of. So I'm anxious to put this into use really deliberately.
Yeah, and I think that the key is kind of the when and the how. I think that we talked a little bit this in the Noom group, but it's when they're triggered, it might not be the best time to have a conversation. But, you know, on Saturday morning when you're off at Waffle House or wherever, you know, or hanging out or going for a walk, you can say, well, you know, remember on Tuesday when X, Y, and Z happened, what do you think was going on? And what did you notice? And kind of more casually begin the conversation. And then the other thing you can do is to really get curious about yourself out loud in front of your kids. And I remember very distinctly doing this when my kids were little, around my own triggers, and as a way to kind of help them to see what getting triggered looked like. So it's like if I lost it, I'd go, you know, after I'd calm down, I'd say, wow, that was strange. Did you see how I just really lost it? I wonder what was going on for me. Maybe I, you know, oh, you know what? I hadn't had a snack this afternoon, and I was feeling a little hungry. I wonder if that makes it easier for me to lose my temper. And you know, just kind of getting curious out loud in front of our kids when they're younger gets them used to the process of getting curious, and then it helps them to maybe start to ask questions about themselves when they wouldn't normally do that. It's a tool I've found to be helpful.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
All right. So we have a few minutes. Does anybody want to do some laser coaching around a particular issue? I know you guys had a few things that came up when we were checking in. Megan, can I pick on you?
I feel bad. I got so much laser coaching last time.
Okay, well, do you want to offer to somebody else want to volunteer? Sue, you want to talk about getting out the door?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, Sue? Okay, great. So tell me a little bit specifically about what goes on that makes it difficult. You were around getting, is it Taekwondo or whatever the martial art is in the afternoon?
Right. I think what it is for him is his energy level. And so I started making some changes with it already, because before the class would start at 6 p.m., like on a Wednesday evening. And I just, my husband and I both noticed that, you know, he's got a full day of school, and then he takes a little bit of a break, and then he's got homework, to get dinner, that to then get your energy for him up and going to be able to get ready for class and go, it's just really challenging for him to do. So one of the things that we've done is we're shifting his class to an afternoon time, and we're going to see if that works out this week and kind of take it from there. But I think part of it is that, and part of it is, I'm guessing with this one, but it's almost as if he forgets how good it feels after you've taken the class, or that it's just fun to get out there and just move your body.
Yeah.
So it's like forgetting the benefits, you know, and especially if it's something that's really internal, you know, which is harder to sense, but forgetting what those benefits of the class are that he himself feels, not that he just hears from mom and dad, you know, but he himself experiences. It'd be really nice to be able to tap into those benefits for him so that he's able to go back and go, oh, yeah, I remember afterwards. I felt really kind of awesome, or whatever it is for him.
So love how curious you've gotten and that you've really identified that his energy level at 6 o'clock at night is not as strong as it earlier in the day, and you're shifting it to it. But, you know, it makes sense that you'd want to find ways for him to internalize the value. And it's hard when they're 10, right? Because they aren't quite that self-aware. So what pops up for me is kind of what can you do in that moment when he comes running out of the class and he's super excited and he's really feeling great and he is noticing how great it feels to help ground it for him?
That's a great question. You know? Well, part of it is just having a conversation as we drive home. I kind of love having conversations in cars. It's, you know, an uninterrupted moment. Hopeful for us it is. But we have those, you know, where talking about, you know, I may point out things like I noticed this part of the class was really tough to do, and I noticed a lot of kids were working really hard to try to get it, and yourself included, and you did it. So having those moments helps, but I feel as though, and it could be wrong, but I feel as though they don't stick long enough to benefit him in the future. Am I just expecting too much of it?
Well, I think that it's, I think that it's a lesson, and it's something you learn. I mean, being able to recall emotion, and it actually takes working memory, and it takes focus, and it takes a lot of other executive function things so that our kids are learning how to do it. But you're teaching him how to do it. One of the things that kind of popped into my head as you were talking, it was how you talk about it, to do it more, the word is holographically. So if you look at it from all perspectives, and a lot of times we'll say, well, how did that make you feel? Or what did you think about that? Or what, you know, and your kid may be, you may be an emotion person, and they may be a thinking person, or they may be a doing person. And so making sure that you talk about the feelings and the thoughts and the action might help connect with them in a different way, if that makes any sense at all. I know that
it really does.
So, for example, my sister is I'm a feeler. I'm a feeling person. So if somebody asked me, how did you feel about that? I'll give them the whole story about my emotions, and I was feeling distraught or left out or whatever, you know. But I asked my sister, how did you feel about that? And she said, good. And I'm like, well, try it. I was just, that was her answer, because she's not a feeling-oriented person. But when I said, well, what did you think about it? She gave me the big, long list of everything that she thought about it. So part of it is just kind of understanding how our kids look at it. And the other thing is you know, extending the conversation. And so, you know, they say, oh, I felt like I had great energy. I was, you know, how did that make you feel? You must have been proud. Have you ever felt like that before? What does it make you want to do? You know, just kind of come up, you know, come back, keep coming with curiosity and asking more open-ended questions to expand the conversation. And then loop it back to, wow, it sounds like you had a really great time in practice today. How do you think that, you know, how can that help you? Or whatever, you know, whatever the kind of closing off of the conversation is. But it feels like just taking it a little bit further and being a little bit of external. And maybe, Sue, this is the other thing that kind of just came up for me is this an opportunity for you to talk about something that makes you feel good energetically? You know, so I don't know if you work out. I know whenever I go to the gym, I always try to come home and tell my kids how great I feel when I come home from the gym, hoping that they'll realize that being physically active actually does feel good. But I've got to catch a couple of couch potatoes in my house. But, you know, stuff like that could be another way to kind of help ground it for him if he sees that other people have the same experience.
That's great, yeah. It helps a great deal because I do take a conditioning class that's taught by a karate instructor. And so he knows the instructor really well and knows that she pushes students, you know, to help them find their next level, shall we say. And the class is, shall we say, a most humbling experience for me, but it's exactly where I need to be right now. So I'll talk with my son about, oh, my gosh, my calves are killing me, or things like that, and I'll round it out to bring it back to that. Geez, it just feels good to be using these new muscles again, muscles that haven't been getting much attention. I'm so glad. I'll bring it out to that.
Yeah, because what we're doing is we're helping our kids to be emotionally intelligent by externalizing what we're feeling so that they can connect with it differently than what's going on in them. Because they're too young and immature a lot of times to really kind of connect with their emotions. All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anything come up for anybody else as I was talking to Sue, or any other questions generally?
You know, one thing we were trying to figure out at times was how to mirror things back when you're about 9 or 10, that emotionally maybe 5 or 7. It just sometimes, I don't know, we just don't know how to say, hey, did you see that hurt my feelings? And he'll say, no, and he'll walk away. All right, well, that didn't work.
Well, and I think that's the thing. And so if you know, at that age, it may just be that you say, ouch, and that's it. You know, and then when you notice that you said something, and then you turn it around and you focus more on your ability to be emotionally intelligent and say, wow, I had this situation. I really hurt so-and-so's feelings today. Or see it in other people. It's like you could watch it on TV and you could see other people hurting other people's feelings. You know, so if your goal is to kind of help them to become more emotionally aware of how words impact other people, you could be watching a show together and highlight how, you know, I'm aging myself, but Marianne and Gilligan were hurting each other's feelings or whatever, you know. So it's something like that where it's external from them because they do tend to shut down because they think that you're accusing and attacking. And in all honesty, a lot of times we are.
Yeah.
So does that help, April?
I think so. I think we're struggling with his body in physical space sometimes. So, yeah, emotionally, we have that whole challenge, but he runs into people. And without noticing, and you'll be like, hey, ow, that hurt. And he'll be like, oh. And sometimes he says sorry, but he's like, no, I didn't. I didn't hit you. And he walks away. And we're like, well, right, you didn't take your hand and hit us, but your shoulder, though, you know, can hurt when you ram somebody by accident. So, yeah.
Well, and so maybe what it is about modeling. And so then it's, you know, whenever somebody says, ouch, somebody else says sorry. You know, and it becomes kind of just the pattern that you get into, and it gets people to take accountability. And it shows empathy, too. So,
yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's wrap up on page 35 of the workbook with our questions for curiosity. So what did you focus on? What did you pay most attention to in our conversation today? What is your clarity? What is your takeaway? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how can you set yourself up for success? So take a minute, answer those questions, or at least a couple of them. And I'd love to hear from a few of you what your takeaways were and what your action plans are. Anybody ready to share?
This is Megan. What I focused on today was how it often doesn't work to ask curious questions, you know, in the moment, and how instead of wondering, you know, why is he being like this? I think I should be more curious about, you know, I wonder what I can do. I wonder how I can frame this to, you know, get through to him better.
Well, so can I reframe that, Megan?
Yes.
So what if you just stayed with the question, I wonder what it is that's making it so difficult for him to listen to me right now?
Okay.
So when you stay with that question, what answer do you get?
It's usually when he's not on his medication, you know, when it's already worn off, or it hasn't started to work yet. So, you know, the answer is, you know, usually that, you know, it's because it's after that time.
So does that mean that he's more easily triggered, or that he's more distracted and so it's hard for him to pay attention to you, or is there something else going on?
It's usually those things. You know, so I feel like the only way to describe him is like a bouncy ball. Like he's just bouncing off the walls. He just, you know, cannot calm down.
Yeah. Well, so it may be, so what's kind of coming up for me is, you know, is it about activating the brain? It is about activating the brain because you said it's happening when his medication's not worn off. And so the question I would ask is, what's a realistic expectation for him to have of him in those moments where he is not medicated, so he's more distracted and more easily triggered? And reset your expectations in those moments. It may just be that those aren't the right times to have this conversation.
Right. The hard thing is that it's not it's not, it's, you know, I know it's definitely not the right time to have certain conversations, but it's like following the simplest of directions, you know, please leave your brother alone. Please keep your hands to yourself. It's, you know, it's just the ability to just follow the simplest.
So what I would tell you is that at those moments, we need, you know, we already are subtracting 3 to 5 years for our kids. If you've got a kid who has a really difficult time, if their brain isn't activated or their medication hasn't kicked in, you need to subtract a few more years. Your kid is 8. How would you handle a 3-year-old?
I guess distraction, changing the subject, changing the situation, pulling out some board games or something.
Yep. You might actually involve yourself physically, so you put your hands on their hands so that they stop, if they can't keep their hands to themselves. You might use shorter words and phrases instead of, please keep your hands to yourself. You might, you know, clap your hands. You might, you know, whatever you need to do to kind of shift and get their attention in a very different way. But you're adjusting your expectation based on what you can reasonably expect him to respond to in those moments where he really has a difficult time. Okay. Well, other takeaways and to-dos.
Something you just said really struck me. This is Mia, that our meltdowns are happening when our medication has worn off, and I think the positive impact of the medication has changed my expectations for my daughter's behavior, and I need to be much more aware of her status when I'm thinking about an expectation. So, sorry, that was just jumped into my head of, wait a minute, this could explain so much.
Yeah.
So I think I've drifted in what I expect.
We want to see our kids at their best, and so we focus on that part of it, which is a good thing to do and sometimes gets in the way.
Yeah. So for me, I'm just going to focus on, you know, being curious, paying attention, logging, and taking care of the things I know can be barriers for the homework, and keep focusing on being curious about that for the rest of the week.
Good.
See what we learn.
Donna, what about you?
Yeah, since we're on the topic of curiosity, I guess as a parent, I'm not, I feel that I'm aware of what my son's triggers are. So if he's misbehaving, it's kind of easy for me, or I can already sort of foretell why or what triggered him. But mostly since we're on this topic, what I wanted to take away from it is how I could influence my son to also be curious, you know, more as to how it relates to others,
right?
You know, like the way he communicates and the way his behavior affects others. You know, just sort of to say he wants to ask for a glass of water, the way that he asks for the glass of water matters, how that person would respond, which usually is might be. So, you know, something like that, how could I model myself better so that he would emulate that? You know, we occasionally do some role-playing. If I don't like the way he talked to me, we would just, okay, let's do it over again. And that's something that I would wish I could do all the time, but there are also times, you know, as a parent, you lose your cool, but as much as possible, I try my best to be more conscious, and, you know, just, I guess the role playing actually helps, or has helped us several times. So maybe just need to be more aware of that.
Awesome. I like that. All right. Anybody else?
This is Sue here. I think something that really hit for me was your comment about getting curious with yourself out loud. So this week, that is what I really want to make sure to do, like maybe make sure that every afternoon that I do it at least twice or something, and so that he can see it and hear it, and who knows what will come of that. So that's what I'd like to do.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how hard is that going to be for you?
I don't think it's going to be... I may eat my words at the next phone call, but I don't think it's going to be super hard because I feel as though I've been using curiosity already because other things haven't worked for me, but being able to speak in this is a way that just the voice, tone of voice down to a more comfortable level that he can hear really a lot easier. And as I said earlier, it just brings about a more empathetic conversation, which I think just works well for both of us, So I'll let you know the truth of what really happens.
All right. Anybody else? We're a little bit over here, but I want to give everybody a chance if you want to share what you're going to focus in on.
I'm going to ask everybody what meals they like. Because I'm tired of cooking things they don't like.
There you go. That's a good way to get curious. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Great. I don't think everybody checked out. Anybody else? Who did we miss telling me what they're going to focus in on? April that just said she's going to...
Yep, that was me.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Megan. Christy, did you check out? No loser? Okay, I did. Cool. Great. So we're at time here. So thanks, everybody, for a great call. And we will – oh, two things as reminders. One is you're going to see an email later today about additional calls that we're adding to the calendar for this year that you guys are invited to. We're really excited to have that. And then the other thing is you're sure that you're watching the Monday messages about the weeks that the group is meeting, because the group in the fall we were kind of really meeting almost every other week. And the groups really meet twice a month, and there's some weirdness in the calendars in the spring, so make sure you know which 2 weeks of the month it is that we meet, because there might be like 2 weeks in a row that we don't meet. So just keep an eye on the calendar as we get into the spring. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in 2 weeks. So we are on in 2 weeks.